Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
Hi everyone, in today's video, I will break down some of the top sleep tactics from Dr. Huberman's podcast. That podcast was 2.5 hours long. And Dr. Huberman is a professor at Stanford. He's a great educator. Check out his podcast at Huberman Lab. Although his episodes are very long and they talk about complicated science, which most people don't understand. That's why I have broken down the protocols and my view on them to give you quick action steps that you can take. So it's all about sleep. Let's start when we wake up. When we wake up, there's a slight increase in our body temperature. As our temperature increases, we feel alert, and as the temperature goes down, we feel sleepy. And as we wake up and move, there is this stress hormone called cortisol that gets released, and this helps us be more awake. It also switches on a few metabolic processes in our body. And one way you can support this process is to look at bright light or sunlight within the first 30 to 60 minutes. Now, you can go for a walk, you can be at your balcony, or just open the curtains. Even if you live in places where you don't see much light, it's all good. Just go out, look at some natural light, even if it's under the clouds. You must be wondering why. Because there are certain nerve cells in our eyes that are sensitive to light, and they cross-communicate with a part of our brain called the SCN. The SCN is a master clock which tells all of your cells what to do in a 24-hour cycle, including making stress hormones like cortisol. Now, I know that most people will actually reach out to their phone to see the first light, but honestly, that doesn't work because that light is not bright enough. And you get bonus points if you go first thing in the morning because when the sun is really low in the sky, and this is the time that it's not very strong, but it provides a very special kind of light, which is called low solar angle light. Even on cloudy days, you can do this. And when the sun is too bright, just don't look at the sun. It's not gonna help. So why are we focusing on light? It's because it helps with our body clock, and it helps you fall asleep faster at night. Now, Dr. Huberman says, go outside for 10 minutes or watch something for 10 minutes. I would say at least do it for 15 to 20 minutes for your optimal performance. And for those of you who live in harsh weather conditions, I'm sorry, but you can purchase a bright light device because it helps you do the same things as well. Just invest in a good quality one. And in all my travels, I find that going out and getting some light helps me get rid of jet lag really fast. I also teach this in my sleep module of my course. Another hack that has been used by many people out there, including myself, is getting some movement first thing in the morning. Now, this doesn't mean going to the gym. This doesn't mean CrossFit. You can just walk outside, do some yoga stretches, allow for your body temperature to naturally rise. What you can also do for all your biohackers out there, get into a cold exposure. This could be a cold shower, an ice bath, anything for 1 to 3 minutes will help increase adrenaline and norepinephrine, which will help you increase your body temperature. Now you must be thinking, CJ, didn't you say that I have to be hot? So why are you asking me to be cold? Let me explain. There are a set of neurons in the premedial preoptic area, and this acts as a temperature sensor. So your body thinks, oh my God, it's so hot outside, so I should heat up my internal systems or else it's going to be bad news. And for anyone who wants to boost their cognitive performance, exposing yourself to cold increases a chemical called dopamine. You've probably heard about dopamine before. It helps you be highly motivated and highly focused. It actually increases motivation by 400%. This is why you should include some sort of a cold exposure. And if you wanted to get an ice bath or something advanced, then head over to www.biohacking.com. Again, if you don't have access to cold, go for some basic movement. Then is the best time of the day for me. Coffee. Dr. Huberman and I agree that you should not have coffee really early in the morning. Those of you who don't have coffee, you can have alternatives like tea or yerba mate. Make sure you get the non-smoke variety of yerba mate because it has less of the bad stuff. So most people will consume their coffee first thing in the morning, but you should wait 90 to 120 minutes. Otherwise, you're going to have an afternoon crash. And most people, when they have a crash, they're going to reach out for the next set of coffee, and that next set will keep them awake for a longer time. Now, in the podcast, Dr. Huberman recommends that you should not have more than 100 mg of coffee post 4 p.m. I would say that's too late. You should not have any coffee after 2 p.m. Remember, coffee will also increase your body temperature, and it does increase hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. Sometimes when I feel like having coffee later in the day, I will have decaf because it's not the caffeine that I like, it's actually the taste of coffee. The next tool has an impact on your sleep, which is very profound. It's food. It's not about what you're eating. It's about how you're eating it, when you're eating it, because that will help you optimize your circadian rhythms. If you're fasting in the day, then break your fast around 11 a.m. with a protein-rich meal. One other thing that has come up in the podcast is the advantages of taking a nap. Now, this doesn't have to be a very long nap. It could be a 15-minute nap, but try not to go over 45 minutes. Otherwise, you will start feeling groggy. And personally, I love to have a nap or a siesta, but because of my work schedule, sometimes it gets very difficult. If you are trying to have a nap, then Dr. Huberman recommends an app called Revere, or listening to Yoga Nidra or Non-Sleep Deep Rest Protocol, NSDR protocol. You can find it on YouTube. What I like to do is use a light sound stimulation device called the Brain Tap. It gets me into this amazing afternoon nap really fast. And then let's talk about workout. If you like to work out in the second half of the day, then please make sure that you don't work out too late, because again, workout will increase your body temperature. And then in the scientific jargon, you're going to get a phase delay effect on your circadian rhythms, which means you will not be able to sleep. One hack that I use also is to step out at regular intervals in the day to get more sunlight. This helps me stay more awake. And then sunlight, when it falls on your skin, it also helps you build good hormones like estrogen and testosterone, both in men and women. Normally, I try to like go for 5 to 10 minutes, but another magical time is after 4 p.m. because again, the sun starts going down and you get this low solar angle. And think of sunlight as information for your cells. Every time sunlight hits your cells, it recalibrates your cells. In the morning, it can increase your wakefulness, and in the evening, it can have a calming effect. We normally refer to this as morning or evening oscillators. So when the sun naturally sets down in nature, you don't have any bright light, because nature, to be honest, does not include iPhones and your shopping malls and cinemas. So it's a good idea to block any kind of blue light in the night. Using blue light blockers from Biohacking helps. And if you wonder what's all this with this blue light, lights that come from artificial sources will tell your brain that it is daytime outside. Now your body uses that information to act like it's daytime. No wonder 80% of the world cannot sleep better at night. One other trick is to use a dim yellow light around the house. I usually have red lights around my house and I turn them on because that increases a sleep hormone called melatonin. Another cheap hack is to use candles, but I know most of you guys will not use candles, so get yourself very good quality blue light blockers. Welcome to the world of biohacking. And the worst lights are the fluorescent lights that are mostly in shopping malls and movie theaters. Get this, that even a light from the street can reduce that sleep hormone I spoke about, melatonin, by 50%. Like I said, the worst lights are fluorescent lights that are coming right from top, because they have a signaling property. So let me tell you this. There are neurons in your eye, which are around the bottom half or two-thirds of your neural retina. And these, the way your optics work, appreciate the light that are coming from the top. So the point here is that every time you have overhead lighting, then it will make sleeping more harder. That's why lamps and candles work, because the light is not coming from above you, it's just below you. Then in the evenings, you can do something relaxing. Dr. Huberman recommends a sauna or a hot shower, but don't exceed it more than 20 to 30 minutes. I personally love doing a sauna, but I will not do it after 6:30 p.m. because I find my body temperature gets heated quite a lot and it's not able to go to sleep. You can also lower that temperature down in your room by switching on the AC. I find wearing socks is great, but Dr. Huberman says make the room cold, and he suggests don't have any socks. But I have seen enough data and anecdotal evidence to see that wearing warm socks, given that you have a very cool room, will work. Some people also like to smoke a joint or use CBD, and Dr. Huberman says that this only reduces your anxiety and worrisome thoughts, but it doesn't really impact your sleep architecture as much as you think it might be. It's the same with alcohol. It makes you sleep faster, but your sleep is not profound, so you don't go through all those stages of sleep. Now let's jump onto the supplements. Dr. Huberman and my sleep stack recommendations is almost the same. He recommends magnesium, threonate, apigenin, and theanine. This is his main stack. Again, this is shown in the literature to work. You don't have to take all of them them, I would also add tryptophan and inositol. And if you cannot find threonate, a good alternative is magnesium glycinate. According to Dr. Huberman, he takes 145 mg of magnesium threonate, 50 mg of apigenin, and between 100 mg to 400 mg of theanine. He also points out that about 5% of the world will have some kind of a gastric stress when you have magnesium threonate. Those people could either avoid it or just have my magnesium glycinate. And when it comes to food, it's great to avoid food 2 to 3 hours before bed, because for sure it's going to mess up with your sleep. Dr. Huberman has some late night snacks like berries. I prefer, on the other hand, to have some raw honey with lysine, which is an amino acid, which can also reduce your body temperature. And then the most common sleep supplement that everyone takes is melatonin. And Dr. Huberman says that you should not have it every day. Have it once in a while, especially when you're trying to readjust your timings after a flight. And if you wake up in the night, then don't use bright lights. Use dim lights. I have changed a lot of bulbs in my toilet and my house to red. So whenever I wake up in the middle of the night, I just switch those on. And when I'm traveling, I have a red headlamp that helps me navigate through the Airbnb or the hotel room to get to the toilet. Another thing he mentions is about having an eye mask and earplugs. It's either for you or not for you. I use both of them for many years and I find it's amazing. I always have one even when I'm traveling. Another hack is to put a pillow under your feet or increasing the bedside by 3 to 5 degrees. This helps with your brain flushing out toxins, activating the lymphatic drainage system. Honestly, I tried this hack in 2019 after hearing it from Dr. Mercola, but it didn't work for me. But I also ended up increasing it by 10 degrees. So maybe next time I'll try to do a 3-inch or a 3-degree lift and I'll report my results. Another tip he has is to use mouth tape and nasal tape, referencing the work of James Nestor and his awesome book on sleep and breath called The Breath. If you're looking for science-based nasal tape and mouth tape, then head over to www.biohacking.com. These tapes are amazing. They can help reduce snoring, open your nasal passages, help with sleep apnea, and get you more oxygen in the brain, which is always good for sleep. And if you like to sleep on the weekends, the science shows us that this can mess up your body's rhythms. So it's best to go to the bed at the same time and wake up around the same times, plus or minus 30 minutes. He also brings this amazing concept of temperature minimum. And the way he explains it is that when you wake up, about like 2 hours before, you will hit a temperature minimum, which means that if you're waking up at 7, your temperature minimum is at 5 a.m. And this means that this is the lowest body temperature you will have in the 24-hour cycle. Why is this important? Here's the interesting part. If you look at bright light or you exercise or you drink coffee or all of the above, 2 to 4 hours before your temperature minimum, that will actually delay your body clock. So let's look at an example. You woke up at 7 a.m., your temperature minimum is at 5 a.m. And if, let's say, you wake up at 3 or 4 for whatever reason, and you switch on the bright lights, and then you decided to go to the toilet, and then you did some movement or exercise, or God forbid you had coffee. I don't know why you would do it. Oh, one thing that will happen is that your circadian system in your mind will shift and you will not be able to sleep well. A perfect scenario would be when you wake up and go for a flight. You might have to wake up early. You might have to do some movement. And if you follow the same principle, the opposite is also true. If you do the same things 2 hours after your temperature minimum, then you're going to advance your body clock, which means that it will make you sleep earlier that night. This is a game changer when you travel between different time zones and you want to adjust to a new time zone. I would use this technique while I'm traveling. And when I wanted to sleep earlier, I would just wake up, do some exercise, and that will signal my body to delay this phase shift and make all of this in advance. And that's it for today's video. I hope it was helpful. I hope you found some of these hacks interesting. But I have a sleep course which teaches way advanced hacks than these, and those are available for my small community at school.com. The name of the community is Road to a Superhuman. Every day for 30 days, I'll teach you a almost free or lower cost cheap hack that will help you increase your sleep drive, and it'll help you become a master at sleeping. So if you find this useful, share this with a friend. Click the subscribe button. It doesn't cost you anything, but it means a world to me. Thank you, and I will see you in the next video.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.